Welcome to Broad Ideas.
Woo!
I feel like just the more we bring it in the intro,
the better the interviews get.
Yep. Today, Nell Tiger Free. Seriously, the coolest name, I think, ever, because it's her actual name.
It's not a stage name?
Nope.
It's not a stage name.
No.
It is her name, and she will actually tell us that herself.
If she will live up to it.
Stick around and listen. She was on Game of Thrones.
She was in Servant. Which was great.
You love that.
Love that show.
That's why Rob was like, we have to get Nell Tiger Free.
Yeah.
The First Omen is her movie that is out.
And scary.
Scary movie. Let's get to know.
Sometimes when the world feels insane, you can take a little peek inside of Rachel's little brain. All these thoughts are swirling round and round inside. To join us on this journey as we take a little ride. We'll talk about dogs and kids and things. We'll talk about chicks and tampon strings. We'll talk about boys that'll make you cry. We'll talk about death, 'cause people die.
We're so happy to have you here with us.
I'm really, really happy to be here. This is fun. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. Your energy, everything is just like awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you don't live here. You're just in town for
just in town
work, press stuff?
For all of the stuff.
All of the stuff.
All the stuff has been, stuffing. yeah. No, I'm here for another like 15 days, 16
days. Oh, wow.
Days.
Okay. So it's like the full.
Full thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then do you live in England?
Yeah, I live in London.
You live in London?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so jealous of that.
I know.
You know?
I tried
See,
it.
I'm jealous of living here. I want to live here.
Do you?
Do you?
Bit, yeah. But I want to live wherever I am at the time.
Right. Right. Like every time I'm visiting a place, I go online and look to see what's for like sale or rent or available. Because I'm like, oh, I'm going to live here now.
Exact same thing.
But I've never left LA.
Do you like the sun?
Well, this is a complicated question.
I know.
Because in theory I do. But I actually cower like in the shade like a vampire. Like I really, really do. Like I'm like... Like, I like the idea that I'm going to go and like tan by the pool, and then I'll just go sit under like an umbrella and just will not let any sun touch my body. So I like the warmth,
but not the
I don't know what it is. I think I'm just committed to being translucent.
I think no, because I was a nanny back in the day for a family from England,
right?
And the little girl was 5 years old, and she would cry every day. And she'd be like, it's just so dreadful here. The sun is always shining. And she'd be like, you need to come to London where it rains. And then I went and moved back with them and it rained every day. And she'd be like, isn't this lovely? And I was like, wait, this is opposite.
I think sometimes English people have sort of like a rain Stockholm syndrome.
That's right.
We become attached to it a little bit. When it's removed as a factor, it's like, hang on a minute. What do you mean I'm dry today?
Yeah. So you've been there your whole life. You're born, raised,
yeah,
everything.
Born and raised.
Wow. So how did you get into this world of acting and such?
It was an accident. I swear on my life, it really, really was. I was like 11 and I just had way too much energy. Like I just exhausted my mother. I just was like run around and I was a tiring child. And so she was like, okay, what do I do with this kid? So she like dropped me off at Saturday school where we'd like sing and dance and act and run around and had juice. And it was just like a little kiddie daycare kind of situation. And then it was like back at the time where directors used to come round to like schools and like kids clubs and just stare at children. And it was
that
weird.
Sound creepy.
It was a weird time. Like they would just come around and just stare at the kids and be like, ah, oh, I'll take this one.
So
it was like kid shopping. And they asked me to audition for something because they thought I looked right or, you know, was the right age or whatever. And I ended up getting really far along in the audition process, which I don't think anyone expected. And so I got like a kid's agent after that.
Yeah.
Where I'd go up for like kids movies and things. And then I joined my agency that I'm with now when I was 14, and my first audition with them was Game of Thrones. So
no,
you're yeah. so insane. The first yeah. audition,
yeah, it was weird. And then it just now I have no qualifications.
It keeps getting weirder, right?
It just keeps getting weirder. It really, really does.
Oh my gosh!
Like I've woken up and I'm 24, and I'm like, oh, now this sort of has to be.
You're like, oh,
the
I guess
thing that I do.
This is what I'm doing.
To come out the gate on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's
Like, did you? I know I've read that you didn't even really know. Other than you're like, oh, princess dresses, and like, that's great. But
but
did you have any clue in your mind what you were getting into?
Not really. I knew that my mom and my sister loved the show. I hadn't mm-hmm. seen it. And I knew that I could tell how excited they were. And my agents, you know, like, this is a big deal. And so I kind of, I grasped the gravitas of it a little bit, mm-hmm. but I just didn't. It was a weird, I mean, I'd done other jobs before as a kid, but it felt like the first job I'd done as a young woman almost. I mean, I was 14, so hey, but you know. And it was just like the sets were massive. There were so many cast members, and it just felt like it was like acting on like its biggest scale.
It is.
Like TV on its biggest scale. Yeah. And I just thought while we were doing it, I was like, oh, this just must be what it's all like.
Yeah.
This must all be like this. Like, and it isn't.
No, you're like, everything is.
It
is pretty crazy.
It isn't. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's just to be thrown in. And how old were you?
14.
You were 14, right?
Yeah.
That is insane.
It was not. It was the weirdest part of it, I think, was the like kind of almost like double life element of it all. Mm, right. I kind of felt like some like a poor man's Hannah Montana. Like,
yeah,
because I would be at. I'd be shooting, because we shot like sporadically with Game of Thrones. Like it wasn't like all in one sitting. So it took like a year for me to shoot my bits, but just at different points during the year. So I'd go and I'd shoot Thrones, and then I would go back to school and I would be back in detention and genuine, like back just at school. And I was like, wait, I'm a star.
Yeah.
People do my makeup.
Yeah, right. But how did kids treat you any differently? Like, no.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a thing.
It was actually more the teachers that
no. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, that makes sense, though.
It was more the teachers. I've got such great parents. Like, they're the opposite of the biz, and they're just very, like, they were just adamant that I wasn't going to turn into a little shit. Sorry, good. Can I swear?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. They were just adamant. They didn't want me to be like a nasty little kid actor or whatever. So they just drilled into me to just like, not talk about it, but just never, you know, never fucking like give it the biggin. And sorry, that's an English expression. Give it the biggin.
we love English expressions.
So I wouldn't talk about it. I just wouldn't talk about the show. I just didn't do it. I just didn't at all. But the teachers at school, they were the ones that they were quite. Some of them were quite nasty about it. Some of them
were judgy that you were doing.
Yeah,
it?
Like really, really judgy and unpleasant. And it was some of them, like the teachers that I'd already loved and had a good relationship with, were really great and supportive and lovely about it and excited about it. And then there was a handful of them that like would make really nasty comments, or like, I remember once I took a bottle of water into the library, and you're not allowed to drink or eat in the library, but it was sealed, and I'd just gotten it from the cafeteria, and I just was walking in to get like a book from my friend or something, and I just had this bottle of water, and the librarian, he was like, you can't bring that in here. I was like, oh, it's sealed, I'll just put it in my bag, I won't bring it in here. And he was like, Nell, you might be a queen on TV, but in school you're just like everybody else.
Oh,
you can't drink in my library. And I was like, actually, I'm a princess, but no.
Actually, but no,
big cheese. No big deal. I was like, oh, that's new. Okay. And things like that would happen quite a lot. Like, ooh. I would get, like, I was crying once. A teacher was having a go at me, and she was like, helps to be an actress to turn the waterworks on, doesn't it now? Like, things like that. And it was just, the teachers, there was a little band of them that were quite nasty.
That makes me sad.
No, it's not right. It's like, you know, you're so young and you're just, it's formative years and everything. Mm. And then you have adults like setting that example or treating you that way.
It was weird. Yeah? It was really, really weird. It was like, I wasn't expecting it from the kids. Yeah, obviously.
Sure.
But it's projection.
Yeah.
It's projection on their values and what they think you must be experiencing. But when I hear that, what angers me, because I'm a parent, we know this because we have to do this all the time, is we focus on the good things, right? And we try to let go of the things that are negative. So if a kid is acting a certain way, like as a teacher, they should be like focusing on like, I'm really glad you're remaining humble and staying part of your fellows. And wow, now thank you for listening to me and taking the direct, like they should be the ones guiding and directing you still.
Yeah.
100%. As adults.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that angers me.
Yeah. It was weird. It was really, really weird. It was like the first time I'd experienced kind of like, I don't know. I wasn't necessarily like a well-behaved student. I wasn't like rude or anything. I was just, I'm a bit of a scatterbrain. So I was just late or I'd forget a book.
Right.
My skirt was too short. Or, you know,
no, things, we all know how that is.
Things like that. Like I was just kind of like,
yeah.
Like I've always had that energy and I've tried to work really hard on quelling it a little bit as I've gotten older because it can be quite a lot. Like just this like, I don't know if you saw me when I walked in the gate, but I was like, bags dropping and hoodie all over the places because I'm just
comfortable. To us.
I like it.
Yeah.
Like it. No, we like it.
Okay, good.
Our birthdays are a day apart.
Are they really?
Yeah, you're October 13th and the 14th.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because Libra.
Libra.
Well, you're getting all these Libras.
We do. We get a lot of Libras.
Yeah.
I wonder what
that is. Have you seen that video of General Tager, I think, and she's like, I'm a Libra, and he's like, big Libra. Every time I hear Libra, that's just what I think of.
Big Libra.
He just goes, big Libra. She looks really confused.
I don't get that.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's hilarious.
We will. She's always, I mean, sending the most random videos. I'm surprised you haven't come across
that. Yeah.
Sorry, I just, that was a segue. Sorry, carry on.
No, I was just thinking like that energy is like you're always balancing. So you were balancing being a student and a typical student and then also
On the biggest show ever.
In the world.
Yeah.
What was it like for you entering that fandom?
I feel like I'm just, this is all quite sad, but like, I'm like, Jesus, yeah. I need to like cheer it up a bit. But initially it was actually really unpleasant because I replaced a girl mm-hmm. on the show. They recast the original actress, Amy Richardson. She played Marcella when she was very, very young.
Mm.
And then Marcella grew up and they recast her and they recast her with me. And the people, like the fans of Game of Thrones were really, really unhappy about it initially. Like I would get death threats. I was getting, like my mum like turned off my Twitter and she was like, no, like
that's
this is
a good mama.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was just getting like a lot of really, really negative comments, like, you know, cast Amy back. And it wasn't her fault. Like we were just two young girls who have just been pitted against
each other.
Of course.
It's awful.
And you know, at the age I was at, I was like, the sky is falling. I was like, oh my God, yeah. They're going to get lynched for this. But then it calmed down. And once the show came out, everyone was really lovely. And it was a nice thing. But Game of Thrones is kind of a blur for me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like I kind of just chalk it up to like the personal relationships I made with mm-hmm. with people on the show. But as far as filming the show goes, it was 10 years ago. I actually have like a really, really hazy memory of it.
Wow.
But it formed you. So it went in. Right? Because you were that young. And I'm just curious how psychologically, I think it's hard for anyone at any age to deal with negative criticism.
Yeah.
But then you enter it with the whole world doing that. How did you separate yourself as Nell from what they were coming at you for?
I've kind of always had the same defense mechanism towards anything, and it's just like sort of like wry self-deprecating humor.
Okay.
And that's kind of how I handle that, kind of how I still handle it now. Yeah. Honestly, where it's just like, if you, I try not to take myself too seriously. I try and remember at the end of the day that it's just TV, it's just a movie. Nobody knows me personally. These people are saying this stuff, they don't actually know me. Unless some of them do, but
now they will.
Now they will.
I'm just kidding.
But I just try and laugh at it. I really, really
good
do.
Good for you.
Yeah. Sometimes one will slip under the surface and it'll get you a little bit. But I do just try and laugh it and see the humor in it, you know?
Yeah.
Because it can be wildly funny. Like some of them, it really can. Some of the nastier comments I've gotten are really, really funny. Like,
yeah, if you can laugh, I know.
And you just have to sort of laugh at it.
I think it's such a good thing. And it seems like, you know, like you said, your parents, like, that you had a very strong, supportive upbringing and support system. And that has a lot to do with it, too. And the fact that you can laugh at things also speaks to that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's something like, and I love that you say that, because some of the things are so ridiculous, right? Like, and people feel that they have the right to say whatever they want or feel.
In a way, they do.
They do.
In a way, because, you know, I'm under no illusions that this is, like, I'm in a job where I'm very, you know, confidently putting myself out for public scrutiny. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, it's just something that comes along with it.
Right.
And it's like, you can't fight off every bad comment. You can't delete every bad comment. I mean, much to my mother's dismay. I know she's on there under multiple pseudonyms, just trying to reporting every negative comment that she sees. And it's like working overtime.
Yeah, for sure.
But to be honest, they don't actually bother me that much.
That's great.
They don't.
No, that's awesome.
But I do think humor is medicine. Like, I help people in coaching and stuff, and they'll be working out a problem, and a lot of times they want a solution that's really deep or really, like, spiritual or meaningful. And I'll just be like, have you tried humor? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, have you tried humor? Have you tried
laughing?
Yeah. Or, like, making light of it on your own and just kind of diffusing the pain and the sting. Like, it's actually a medicine.
It really, really is.
Yeah.
I completely agree. It really, really is. And it's quite a powerful thing to be able to do, to, like, turn the nasty into laughter. Like, it's a nice little weapon in the arsenal.
No, exactly. For sure.
Yeah.
So the first Omen, we're going to talk about your movie for a minute.
Yeah, we are.
That's happening. First of all, I am, like, so terrified of, like, genre horror, like, scary movies, yet they're the only ones that will keep me up at night. So I make the mistake of watching them right before bed. But I think it must be so fun to make them.
It is.
So, yeah, just tell us a little bit about the movie and your experience and all of it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we had a blast. We really did. I know it looks like I'm having a terrible time, but I'm not. I'm actually really, really enjoyed it. The cast and the crew on this film, like, genuinely from the bottom of my heart, were just the most amazing group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
wow.
And that makes or breaks anything that you do. Like, anything. You could be making, like, something of such lighthearted content, and if there's one bad apple, like, it can bring the whole thing down. Yeah, it really, really can. And in this situation, even though we were, you know, dealing with some pretty heavy content and subject matter, and we knew it was things that we were gonna get pushback on, and physically it was a very taxing role for me. Emotionally, it was pretty exhausting to get to those places sometimes. But it felt like I had family away from family. It was like a home away from home. Like, it just was the most supportive environment. And, you know, having Akasha at the helm of it made a world of difference, because it was like we were doing the whole thing together, you know.
Amazing.
It felt like a real partnership. And Akasha and I literally can't have a conversation without one of us crying on the other one. Because we're so grateful to each other. I'm so grateful to her, because, like, it could have been, under somebody else's guidance, it could have been a traumatizing experience.
Mm, sure.
You know, it could have been. But, and we laughed a lot. We laughed a lot. You're doing things that are so absurd. You've got Bill Nighy in a full Cardinals outfit on a pulley, having to keep a straight face, being, like, pulled away slow-mo, so it looks like I'm moving away from him, but really he's moving away from me. And he's got to, like, keep eye contact with me and be completely deadpan. Oof. And it's, like, one of the most intense moments of the movie. And he's just disappearing. And the dolly was squeaking. It was like, he was just disappearing into the dark. And so I just looked at him and I was like, and I just lost it. And it's, like, moments like that where you kind of recognize the absurdity of what you're doing.
For sure.
Do you work on any, with a coach or anything on that? Acting, you do it all. It's all you.
It's all me.
It's all you, baby.
It's all me, baby.
Yeah. All your insights.
Well, because I could imagine if that would be a hard role to put yourself in, right?
Yeah. I say it's all me, but it's all me and better.
And everyone.
And everyone.
Yeah, of course.
And better, more qualified actors that I've watched and stolen from. Yeah, the thing is that I never think I can do it until it's happening. That is just the best way I can say it, is that, like, I'll read something on the page and I'll be like, how in the fuck am I going to do that? How the fuck am I going to do that? I have no idea how to do that. And then it gets to the moment and you get this adrenaline and this pressure, this crazy pressure, and you just do it. I really think that more people could try their hand at this than they think, because it's amazing what happens when you have to do it.
Right.
Like, when you have to perform.
Yeah.
It's amazing what your body clicks into, and it's just like, okay, I need to deliver, so I'm going to.
Yeah. I've actually never heard it described that way.
Yeah.
Because it is that kind of fight or flight.
It's exactly that.
Yeah. And then you're just like, oh, okay.
Oh, I have to do this.
Fuck it. Gotta do it.
Yeah. I have to pretend that it's not funny.
It's just committing, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it is the adrenaline and fear that pushes you to commit.
Totally. Totally. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I gotta just scare you.
Honestly, I know it sounds trivial, honestly, but it's like people think they can't do it. Like, yeah. I do. And then you just do, because you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You just do.
Just do it. Just get it done.
Kind of like with everything.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I was going to say, that's like a mentality for life.
Yeah.
My high school boyfriend's dad put this in my head when I was like 15 years old. He's like, just get it done.
Just do it.
Just get it done.
And that was me like lugging a heavy suitcase like upstairs at the airport. And he's like, just get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It applies everywhere.
It's just like, show up.
That's exactly it.
Right?
Yeah.
I just went skiing for the first time in a long time. And I was like, doing the same thing, like, I'm not going to be able to do this. This is a waste of my time. Why am I doing this? And then I had that thing click in that was just like, just show up and stay
just
out of the way.
Just
do the fucking thing.
Yeah.
And then by the end, I was like, I ski.
She's like, I am a skier.
You know? But it 100%. Is that premise of like, be afraid, show up.
Do it. 3, 2, 1, go.
3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Broad Ideas is supported by Blissey. Who knew that a better pillowcase is all you need for better sleep? Let's talk about practicing self-care while you sleep. Set yourself up with better sleep with Blissey's award-winning 100% mulberry silk pillowcases. Seriously, silk is what's best for your hair and skin. It reduces frizz, tangles, and prevents breakage. That's because it keeps the moisture in your hair and keeps your skincare products and natural moisture on your skin, while cotton literally absorbs it off of your face. Say goodbye to wrinkles, dry, flaky, and red skin in the morning, and wake up with healthier and shinier hair. Blissey pillowcases are made of 100% mulberry silk, which is naturally hypoallergenic, so you can sleep more comfortably without itching or rashes. I love my Blissey pillowcases, and so does my daughter. I naturally have dry skin, so I love sleeping on them every night. I wake up and my skin, it feels like the moisture stays in. I'm not dealing with flakiness. It's been great. Also, mind you, I have very frizzy hair. Not when I sleep with my Blissey pillowcase. They have over 1 million raving fans, and you could be next. Try now, risk-free for 60 nights at blissey.com/Rachel and get an additional 30% off. That's blissy.com/Rachel and use code Rachel to get an additional 30% off. Your skin and hair will thank you. Do you think seeing a therapist or psychiatrist would be helpful, but you don't have the time to actually find one and meet with them or afford them? Try Talkspace. By doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easy, accessible, and affordable. At Talkspace.com, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. It's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home. There's no need to commute to appointments, miss time at work, or line up childcare in order to attend sessions. It's mental health care made easy. Talkspace can help with any specific challenges you might be facing. It's the number one online therapy platform with licensed therapists in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, relationship issues, and much more. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to talkspace.com/ideas and enter promo code SPACE80. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to talkspace.com/ideas and enter promo code SPACE80 to get $80 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's talkspace.com/ideas, promo code SPACE80. Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's so hard, you know, and I think acting in general and like whatever, but especially doing like, you know, a scary movie and.
Yeah.
But the, I love hearing the other side of it, right? Because like they're so, and it looks so fucking scary. But like to hear, you know, the absurdity, but like in the best way of some of the things just makes me feel better about what I'm watching.
Yeah, honestly, it should do because it's, because once you see behind the curtain and you see, you know.
I like, know, which is, I guess, better
this isn't
not to.
Real. Yeah, 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 like this isn't. Yeah.
Right. Because like I even like when I first watched the trailer, I was like, I don't think I can watch this.
Yeah.
Like there's children and it's scary. Like, little girls.
Oh, I like it so much.
There's nothing scarier.
So
than,
much.
Like, there's nothing scarier.
Children.
Than children. Specifically children. A little girl.
Just children.
Like little girl ghosts are the scariest.
Little girl ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I stand by
that.
That's quite a popular fear.
I know.
The little girl
ghosts.
It's
a thing.
But I feel like physically you could take a little
girl.
Do
you believe in ghosts?
It's the nightgowns.
I do.
Okay, yeah. We want to hear
yeah,
all
we want
about
to get
it.
Into it.
I do very much.
Oh, have you had experiences?
Multiple.
Oh, please tell us. Oh my God.
Multiple.
This is our favorite.
Yeah.
We're like, what's their names? It's like the Saturday Night Live. Where it's like the sweater weather ladies. You
I don't
know?
No, I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
They're like,
sure,
oh
great.
My God, it's sweater weather.
Okay, come on.
Ghost.
Honestly, we
Ghost.
Should have my mom here because she would really
oh,
blow your mind. She would blow your mind. I can start. I'll start from my earliest one that
yes,
I can remember.
Please.
Oh my God, I have the chills.
Getting ready.
Jaw drop.
So, me and my mum, my sister, my dad, we all lived in our house growing up. And my bedroom was, I didn't like being away from my sister. My sister had the top attic room. And then there was this little annex off to the side of it. It was like a broom cupboard, but I insisted that I sleep in there. I was like, no, I need to be next to my sister. Through a wall, I'm sleeping here. So that was my bedroom in the house. Even though there was another one, like, but that was the one.
You're like, I'm in the closet.
That was it. And I started running down the stairs, like, every night. And I'd be like, Mum, and I was like around 3 at this point. And I was like, Mummy, the lady with the hairbrush is back. She's telling me to leave. The lady with the hairbrush is back.
Mm-mm.
And my mum was like, okay. Immediately she was like, no. No. Let's deal with this. So like 2 days later, this old woman knocks on our front door and she was like, hello, my sister used to live in this house. Is it okay if I come in and see what you've done with it? And my mum was like, yeah, of course. And so she came into the house and she was like, can I see her bedroom? I really want to see her bedroom.
Oh God.
And my mum was like, sure. So she goes up the stairs and my mum's obviously expecting her to go into the master bedroom where my mum sleeps.
Right.
And it's like the main bedroom in the house. But then she goes all the way up to the top. And my mum's thinking, if she goes into the annex, if she goes into that tiny bedroom, I swear to God, we're moving. So she walks into the annex, into the tiny room, which is my room. And my mum was like, why did she sleep in here? And she was like, oh, she just always found it comforting. She just liked this room. She just,
I can't.
This was her bedroom. My mum was like, okay. And she was like, by any chance, did your sister have a silver hairbrush and would wear a string of pearls? And she was like, yes. Yes, she did. And my mum was like, right. I think she's been hitting my kid.
Stop it.
And she was like, what? And she was like, I think she's been visiting my kid and asking her to leave her bedroom. And my mum was like, did she die in this room?
Oh.
And she was like, she slipped into a coma in this room, in her bed. This was the last time she was conscious, was here. And then she died in the hospital. My mum was like, copy that. Great news. So my mum was friends with this white witch, Davina, and she called her over.
No big deal.
No big deal.
Yeah.
And she called her over and she was like, Davina, you need to look at the house. And Davina goes, my mum doesn't tell her anything. She goes straight up to my annex room, goes straight up in there. She goes, there's something in here. We bless the house. I had to walk around, little 3-year-old me with the sage and bless the house and go, please leave my room alone. Like, just like walking around like, bye-bye, lady. And then apparently I came downstairs that night to my mum and I was like, Mummy, the lady went out the window tonight and she waved goodbye. My mum was like, okay. And that, yeah.
I have chills like my
that's
like
the longest
tingling
one.
Everywhere.
I know. It's weird that it like comforts me.
No, it's like I almost started crying.
Yeah. It was wild. It just felt like
no, it's yeah. I grew up with a mom very into all the, which
so you were gonna say I grew up with the ghost.
I grew up with the ghost too.
The ghost.
Yeah. No, but my mom's always been like, they're not gonna hurt you. Like it's fine.
Yeah.
Like she's always been like, ghost, yeah, but don't worry. They're not gonna hurt you.
Yeah.
Like if you see one, you know, yeah. there's spirits, whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I've never felt any sort of
fear.
Well, there was one once. Oh, it's actually yeah. only, this is really quick. It's actually only
no,
now.
No, we like it long, too.
This is our fit.
This is what we care about.
It was actually, well, that will ruin the ending. So I moved to a different room. And because after the annex situation, I got older and I was just like, I'm going to go to a different room. So I was around 5 at this point. And I started talking to my mum. My mum is, and Davina, her white witch friend, was convinced that I'm like some sort of portal. Like I'm like, yeah. like I'm a receptacle because right. it's so much has happened. I can't even tell you. I'd need a year to tell you all about it. But with this particular one, it's the only one that's never really sat quite right with me. Because I used to come, we had this old wardrobe that was like mm-hmm. 200 years old. Like it was really passed down through family. Mm-hmm. And it was in my room at the time. And I always felt kind of strange about it. I don't know why. I just never, just felt kind of strange about it. I remember as a kid. And I came into my mum's room again and I was like, mummy, there's a lady and her face is a hairdryer and she's in my wardrobe. And my mom was like, not this shit again.
Oh, no.
She was like, not again. And then I saw her 2 or 3 more times and I don't remember seeing her again. But I remember being terrified of the lady with the hairdryer face. Terrified.
Hairdryer face.
And
what a hair.
Well, it was only really recently that I was sitting with my boyfriend and I just went, and he was like, what? And I was like, oh my God, hairdryer lady. He was like, hairdryer lady. And I was like, it wasn't a hairdryer. It was a gas mask.
Oh, no.
She was wearing a gas mask. No. And I've only realized, yeah.
No.
And I only realized as an adult, like really recently, that as a kid, I was thinking it was a hairdryer. But it was like I can still see her now. And I realized, oh my God, no, she had a gas mask on her face.
That does make me want to vomit a little bit. It really
I'm
actually
frozen.
Makes,
yeah, I'm no, fro- like makes I peed me- a little.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the kind of stuff that's like, you know.
Wait,
like,
did you ever get an answer of like who that could have been or anything? Nothing.
No, but
nothing.
Something about the wardrobe. The wardrobe is very, very old.
Very old.
It might have just been something lingering from, you know,
like
wartime.
Like old school gas mask that had the
old
attachment or something. Like
scary,
whatever,
gas mask.
Scary looking.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones like.
Have you ever done anything to like, are you into that? Like, are you open to connecting to the other? Like, what if you're a medium?
I don't know. I don't know. I do have dreams and they happen all the time.
Really?
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
I dream in like flashes of images and I'll like sometimes write them down and be like this. And then honestly, the next day or the day after, all of those images, it will come to fruition. So I don't know.
Do you remember like the craziest one or anything, any examples?
Yeah, but it was, it was, so, I mean, we'll honesty, I was going to sleep and I had these 3 images in my head and they were really, really visceral and I couldn't get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And one was myself crying, leaning against an airplane window. And I was like, mm-mm. Weird. Mm-mm. The other one was a needle going into skin, just like mm-hmm. repeatedly a needle going into skin. And then the other one was, well, this is quite deep, to be honest.
No.
Yeah. The other one was me like frozen with my back up against a wall. And I just couldn't stop seeing like the back up against the wall, the needle going into the skin and crying on an airplane. And I told my boyfriend at the time, well, he's still my boyfriend. I told my boyfriend.
At the time it happened.
At the time it happened. Yeah. And I was like, I'm seeing these 3 images and it's driving me insane. I can't sleep. I'm just seeing them over and over again. Mm. He was like, I'm sure it's fine. The next day we had quite an unfortunate incident and we went on a break at the time. Mm. And I left and I'd forgotten about all of the things that I saw. And I left and that morning I went and I got on a plane. I came here. Came to LA and I was crying on the plane with my head. And then when I landed, I got a tattoo to make myself feel better. And then after the tattoo, I was sat in my aunt's kitchen and I was like pinned up against the wall because I couldn't stop crying. And then I realized like a day later, I saw all these 3 things happening. And it was
wild. At the time, it didn't even occur to you.
At the time, while it was going on, it didn't even occur to me because I was so like, you know, in the moment. We're fine now, don't worry. We love you now.
It happens.
We're human beings.
Of course.
We're human
of course.
Beings. But it was wild. It was
that
really, really
is
wild.
Do you keep a journal? Do you keep like notes?
I have a diary. Honestly, to be honest, I'm not that cool. I don't like have a moleskin that I carry around most of the time. I just jot down on my notes on my phone, like plain tattoo. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do that too, because I've had dreams that certain people have died and then they died.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I have a note in my phone.
Who?
Because it was like this one random person that we knew from high school. I had a dream they died. So I put it in my phone because I was like, note that. No. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I had it again where someone else died. Like I didn't see the death, but I saw like all the cops coming and I saw all this stuff. And then I wrote it down. The guy didn't die, but he ended up getting arrested and going to jail for a really long time.
God.
So I was like, oh, that's that.
Right.
Like,
right. Certain things.
Certain things in dreams will come, and then I have to, like, note it when it happens.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Oh, like, watch a notes out for app Brian. For he's not going to do good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Notes app is handy for that. And now that you're saying it, like, I get flashes of things, like, randomly.
Yeah.
I'll be driving, and something totally random just, like, pop into my head, and then it's gone, like, out of nowhere, not related to anything, and I should probably pay attention to those things.
You could just voice note it. Because it's I don't know whether it's like a psychic, like I don't know about all that stuff, but I do think that we're so incredibly intuitive, like even more than we realize that we are. And maybe it's not a prediction, but it's like, because you've had those images in your head, it affects what happens. Do you know what I mean? Like it might not necessarily be like seeing the future, but it could be heavily influencing it without you really knowing.
Right. Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. 100%. And it can also be, I was reading this thing on like the difference between being clairvoyant or audiovoyant. Mm-hmm. So like certain people they can hear it. Right? They'll hear something, like a name called, or they'll hear certain things. Certain people get images. Mm-hmm. Certain people, so we get messages in different ways. And it's like really cool to like ask, like, how do I get my messages? Is it through dreams? Is it through hearing? Is it through seeing visuals? And it's like those things are, I believe, informing us of something.
They were agree.
Do you get a certain song stuck in your head?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
So they say that there's something to that. Like, totally. It's not just a random thing that, like, oh, that song stuck in my head. Like, there's something in that for you.
I'm always looking for it.
Yeah.
Like, when things happen, I'm always like, okay, what does it mean? I get signs like no
you
other.
You do.
Yeah.
You get a lot
I get a lot. To the point where I'm like, why? Like, enough.
Enough is enough.
But it happens all the time. And I think it has to be with the people that are more open and like have the thing.
Totally. If you're more receptive to it, it's just like the more you see, the more receptive you become. It's like a snowball effect until all of a sudden you're like walking through a graveyard, communicating with the dead.
Oh my
God. Some people are super close to it.
Some people are close. I think it's happening to all of us. Mm-hmm. We just don't know. If you're open. Oh, you said graveyard, and I saw the coolest thing. And this is a good question for people. Okay. I'm obsessed with graveyards.
Okay.
Like, absolutely fucking love them.
Yeah.
And I saw now they're putting QR codes on them.
Oh, I saw this.
You saw this?
Yeah.
What?
So you can go and scan it and like see, they had like this old people's first dance, their last dance, their this, their that.
I saw ones where it's like recipes.
Oh, that's totally different.
On like
that's
a tombstone.
You and I. The difference between you and I.
I'm like, no. And it was like the grandma passed away, like her recipe for.
That's amazing.
I know.
That's so sweet.
What if we just go to graveyards and we just,
scan all of them?
All the QR codes.
I thought it was so,
that is so
brilliant.
Sweet.
Because then I'm like, what would be on your QR code? It makes you think so different. You're like, it wouldn't be this. It wouldn't be that. No. Like, what would I put for the people to see?
To remember you by.
Yes.
What would you put?
Such
what would you put?
What would you
question,
put?
Right?
Yeah.
Because that sort of just like eradicates all the things that you think are important that are going on at the time.
Yes.
And instead it's like, well, no, what's actually important?
Right.
Here? I don't know. I would want to do other people's things, which is not good. Like, I want like my parents' wedding and me being little there. And like, I suppose, I mean, hopefully if I get a wedding, I'd want that. But that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Do you want a wedding?
Do you want marriage and stuff?
So. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a public service announcement. Stop what you're doing.
I think so. I go in and out with it. I fluctuate with it. I think there's something so wonderful about the idea of just being with one person. Mm-hmm. I really, really do.
Yeah.
I'm a big monogamist.
Yeah. Like, how long have you guys been together?
We've been together 2 years and 7 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not counting or anything.
No, you're like 2, 7 months.
Not like 8 days and
12 hours.
1 minute 53. Yeah. 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 No, we've been together like just over 2.5 years.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's nice. Support for Broad Ideas comes from IQ Bar. You guys, I've said it before. My favorite thing to do in the morning is pop a brain and body boosting bar in my mouth to help my brain, help me wake up, start functioning properly, start each day right with IQ Bar's brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. Their ultimate sampler pack includes all three. Get 7 IQ Bar flavors, 4 IQ Mix flavors, and 4 IQ Joe flavors. And today our listeners get an exclusive offer of 20% off plus free shipping. Just text IDEAS to 64,000. The Ultimate Sampler Pack is a great way to try all IQ Bar products and flavors. All IQ Bar products are entirely free from gluten, dairy, soy, GMOs, and artificial sweeteners. IQ Bar makes the number one brain and body nutrition bar, hydration mix, and instant coffee in the U.S. Over 10,000 five-star reviews and counting. Refuel smarter with IQ Bar's Ultimate Sampler Pack. That's 7 IQ Bars, 4 IQ Mix Sticks, and 4 IQ Joe Sticks. And now our special podcast listeners get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus get free shipping. To get your 20% off, just text IDEAS to 64,000. Get your discount, text IDEAS to 64,000. That's IDEAS to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. This episode of Broad Ideas is brought to you by Maybelline. For over a century, Maybelline has provided accessible makeup to give everyone the self-confidence to express themselves. As the number one makeup brand in the world, Maybelline has the platform and the power to make an impact from the inside out. That's why they've created Brave Together, an initiative designed to help those facing anxiety and depression by funding free professional one-to-one support so that no one has to struggle alone. Mental health challenges like anxiety or depression can be so difficult to manage on your own. I know that I went through a time not knowing who to speak to, how to speak to, but finding the courage and being brave enough to ask for help is your first step. Have you ever noticed a friend struggling and not knowing what to do or say? Maybelline, New York created the Brave Talk training to help people navigate mental health conversations with their friends. It's brave to ask for help. Let's be brave together. Maybelline is committed to donating $10 million to NGO partners and providing free access to one-to-one professional support to 3 million people by 2025 so that no one has to struggle alone. If you or someone you know is experiencing anxiety or depression, Maybelline New York is funding free confidential support. Text TOGETHER to 741-741 or visit maybelline.com/bravetogether to learn more. What if you had to pick for like your partner what goes on the QR code?
Oh, that's so much easier, I think.
That's so easy. But I do think, like you said, it just eliminates all the bullshit.
Yeah.
Because you're like, these like, things important? I think are important, I wouldn't put them on my QR code. Like,
right.
At all.
No, definitely not. Like my showreel.
My showreel on my QR code. Like,
yeah.
Exactly. Like, I wonder if Game of Thrones would even make it.
It certainly wouldn't.
That's what I'm saying.
No, definitely not. No, I'd put nothing about. Well, obviously, you want to celebrate your achievements, I guess.
But you probably wouldn't.
I'd just put, home videos.
Yeah, like,
my family. Mom and my sister, my dad, and Isaac. And, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I would do? I'm totally lying. I would make, I'm completely lying. I would make a video, and it would be like
a confessional.
Oh. Like, I would make a funny video. Like, I'd be
love that.
If you're watching this, I'm not really dead. I've skipped town. Like, do you know what I mean?
Or I'd make it like an audio of like me banging against the casket and be like, let me out.
Yeah.
Oh, I would do something like that. I genuinely, that's what I would do.
I think you are our new favorite person.
I like it.
That's awesome. To make my friends laugh on my last.
Oh, that's so cute.
What a memory. I think
I'd do something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Or you just like appear with like that old school gas mask on.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'll just do a video of me like, woo.
She's like, woo.
Yeah, like it's a ghost.
I would totally do that.
Oh, I don't, you know what you would do?
I mean, the first instinct is just my kids.
Your kids.
Yeah. I know.
Like, that's all that comes to mind.
Me too.
I'm like.
Like, holding my kid. I don't know.
Like, that's.
Maybe I'd throw a recipe in there.
And a recipe.
You would 1,000% throw a recipe.
A recipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably my daughter's favorite recipe.
Oh, I would that's do my really friends, sweet. Like, things of us on, like, our.
Oh, I'm like, friends. Oh, me.
I would do my other friends.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, closest friends, family.
Yeah.
Sunshine, beach.
Sunshine?
Sunshine, beach.
Like, yeah, just like the, you know, those memories that stick out.
She has a
crave?
Montage in her head, I think.
That's you've like, already, she's you've already saw it, haven't you?
Yeah. It was like a big plate of Mexican food.
Oh, yeah.
Costa Vega?
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Like all the hits.
Food's important.
Sounds good.
Right?
All the hits. Wait, what song would you put it to?
Ooh.
We're going to have music in
this. Because that lasts forever.
Yeah.
I would do
what would you
either
do?
Bye Bye Baby.
Oh,
bye bye baby, bye bye.
Oh my God, that song.
It's in Love Actually,
Love
which
Actually,
is a bit annoying because I would be like, well, everyone's going to think I've done this because of Love Actually, but
no,
I would
love
that.
It's such a good
that.
Song.
Or I would do If Not For You by George Harrison. If Not For You.
Mm. Oh, you have a voice.
Not right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you sing. Do it.
Sing.
Yeah.
But it would probably be that one.
That's I love really that.
My mum for my sisters would be Always Be My Baby, Mariah Carey.
Aww.
Oh, that's
their song together.
Your sister's older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's 28. Aww. She's also the best person on the planet.
That's so, I love
like,
it.
Like genuinely the coolest person in the world. Like,
oh my God, I love that.
She's like teaching kids in Japan right now. She's got this like fire red hair and she's like, yeah, I'm just teaching kids in Japan. I'm like... So much cooler than me. Teach me.
You're like, I'm scaring people.
She's like spreading joy and like education, and I'm just traumatizing people.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow.
You're both, you know, bringing out feelings in people. So that's good.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm so envious. And like, I talk about this all the time because my daughter's an only child.
Yeah.
And I see all these relationships, and I'm hearing about your relationship, and one of her best friends has an older sister, and I'm like, oh, is she missing out on that sibling bond, you know?
And yeah.
I struggle with it.
I mean, does she have cousins and like...
Yes, she has cousins. There's one that's her age, but they live in Canada. And then she has a baby cousin that's like 9 months old.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
It's a little...
You also never know which way it's going to go. Though.
Yeah.
There's
with
plenty
the
of siblings that don't get along.
That's true.
And,
totally.
You know, it's a crapshoot. So it's like... I really say God doesn't give with two hands. It's like, you're always trading something.
Sure.
So she's getting more of you.
She is.
Exactly.
She wouldn't have it any
more
other way.
Time and you'll,
Yeah.
She's definitely anti-sibling.
She's anti-sibling.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, no, this is my world.
This is my world.
Yeah.
You're all just living in it.
Yes. But I love hearing that.
How does she feel about what you do?
My sister?
Yeah. Did she ever want to do it at all or she was just her own...
She's got a beautiful voice. So she's an amazing songwriter, like really, really talented. But she had stage fright and she just didn't enjoy it. She went to Brit School, which is like this like not performing arts, but like a artsy school in London. And where they would perform their own songs and stuff. And she just didn't love it. She just didn't enjoy it. And she's been trying to, she's amazing though. She taught herself her A-levels so that she could go to college at our kitchen table. Like, she just sat and taught herself the whole syllabus, did the whole thing, so that she could go to college, to university. She did it all by herself, and it was incredible to watch. Like, it was wild. I didn't finish high school, technically. Like,
yeah,
I did, but in, like, the American sense, I didn't go to our, what we call college, which is the last 2 years of high school. So I've just always been kind of in awe of her in that respect. And then she fell in love with teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we took the kids, her kids,
that she teaches to go see Frozen in the West End. Aww. Like, it's like a field trip. And I got to watch her interact with the kids and they just love her. Mm. But to answer your question about how she feels about what I do, she's like my number one fan. She's like the most supportive, like, and my mom is so, she talks about what each of us do completely equally, you Good. Know, like
yeah,
she's just as excited about what Betsy does because it's just as exciting. But yeah. You know, my mom says this a lot. She says that people are like, oh, what's Nell doing? Or this and this and this and that, because obviously I'm in the public eye a little bit mm-hmm. and people get excited about those things. But at the end of the day, like, my mom is just so proud of my sister, and I am too, because she did Good. A lot of this on her own and off yeah. her own back in fruition. And she's just so supportive, and like, it's just the best that you could hope for. Like, and we're sisters, we're very similar in age, you know, but there's nothing competitive about our relationship at all. It's just a lot of support and love and yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome. What's your sister's name?
Betsy.
Betsy.
But what I call about her your Bill.
So you have a very unique name.
Yeah. yeah. It was either criminal, stripper, or actor. That was
a criminal, stripper, or actor.
That was kind of it.
But it's your birth, like you were, it's your birth
it's my
given name.
Real name. Yeah.
All
given
of it.
Name. Yeah. All yeah. of it. Yeah.
It's so cool.
Where did Thanks. It come from?
I was going to be called Tiger when I was a kid.
Love it.
When I was in utero, I was going to be called Tiger because I was apparently very lively in my mother's stomach. She was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then when I was born on my grandpa's birthday and his name was Neil.
Aww.
So like to kind of honor that, my name became Nell, the girl version of Neil.
Yeah.
Tiger got moved to the middle. And then Free is just my dad's last name.
I love it so much.
It's so cool.
Thank you.
Because like when I was like, there's no way that's like your real name.
It, honestly,
it's so rad.
It is my real name.
That's super cool.
Yeah, my parents, all the credit for that one, obviously.
Yeah.
Do you think, I thought this morning when I was at Starbucks, because you know how they call people's names.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was wondering, I'm like, do we, because the person looked exactly like their name. It was like, it was like Ashley. And I was like,
You're an Ashley 100%.
Like, they nailed it. Did your parents nail it, or did you become Ashley because that was your name?
I think you become it.
Right?
Seriously. Yeah.
I was wondering. And then I was thinking about other people's names, and I'm like, this is so fascinating. Like, mm-hmm. Did you become Rachel?
I've never been happy about my name.
Really? I know you say that.
You've never been happy about Rachel.
I just think like
even after friends.
Well, I mean, that's part of it.
Like, yeah.
But in my mind, I'm like, how did my parents go, Rachel? Like, you know what I mean? Like, who thinks that name and is like, Rachel?
Think about it now, you know what I mean? But you're
like
Rachel.
It's a cha. Like, who thinks that's pretty? It's like a cha.
Well, I think it's lovely.
You know what I mean, though?
But I was thinking about that Rachel today, and I was like,
I look like I'm a Rachel?
Is a Rachel, like from Friends. Like,
there's so many great Rachels in the world.
There's so great Rachels.
I'm sure they love the name. And it's not that I don't appreciate it. I just think, like, who thinks in their mind?
But I can hear Jennifer Aniston as Rachel saying that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, that's a Rachel vibe.
Now that you've said it, you have a Rachel vibe from Friends.
As a fake Rachel.
You have that vibe.
So your vibe is a fake Rachel.
No real ones, just the fake
one. Just the fake one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take it. You know, there are other ones that I definitely would take that from.
So you think you lived into that name?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, I guess I had the edge a little bit because I was so wild in my mom's stomach that, like, I was always going to have so much energy that, like, Tiger kind of fit at the time.
Yeah.
But, like, my sister's name is Betsy, and she, if you met her, you'd be like, oh, you're 100% a Betsy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. Yes. My dad's name is Max. He is 100% Max. To his core, like he's like a rocker, like
he's a Max.
He's just a Max.
Yeah,
is there anyone you can think of that you're like, you're not a?
That's not your name.
Yeah, like if you look at someone, you're like, mm-mm.
What's weird because I think that about my son. His middle name is Wiley Shepherd Wiley, and he is the wiliest guy I've ever experienced.
Yeah,
and Elliot is like mellow. My other son's like mellow-natured Elliot.
But that feels like it.
It feels like him.
Right.
I don't know. It's too hard.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. You thought of someone.
I did. Because you know sometimes when you say a celebrity's name,
yeah, let's
it
do
only
it.
Sounds right if you say the full thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Like Leonardo DiCaprio has right. to be Leonardo DiCaprio. DiCaprio. But if you just said Leonardo.
No.
No.
Bit weird.
Bit weird. Bit weird.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I absolutely know what you mean.
Like Benicio del Toro.
Benicio
like,
del Toro.
That works.
Yeah, I know, but you're not going to be like, Benicio.
No, he still works as the Benicio. Oh, you know right. who doesn't feel 100%
maybe not.
Is Sandra Bullock. It works as Sandra. But Sandra
Bullock, but just Sandra.
Oh,
yes.
That's a good example.
Yeah, that's a really, really good
That's
one.
A really good example. Mine was
I would
really,
name
really good
her
one.
Rachel.
You would name her Rachel. Yeah. She would be Rachel Bullock.
She'd be Rachel Bullock.
Rachel Bullock.
Oh, my God.
We like
We're
to play.
We're going to do a few fun cards with
okay.
you. Okay. We want to go first.
If aliens landed on Earth, who would you recommend they talk to?
Not me. Morgan Freeman.
It's brilliant.
Oh my God, that's the best answer
that is
ever.
The fucking answer.
I just feel like there's no other choice.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that's
I think
wonderful.
What happened is your fear kicked in and then you
And then
just,
I did it.
You did it.
That's right. Just get it done.
It suddenly became
that's
very
how
clear
you
to me.
Go with the flow.
Who exactly I would
done.
Send them to.
Yep. That's
would
it.
Would you rather sit through a Star Wars marathon or a Lord of the Rings marathon?
Lord of the Rings. All day, every day.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, zombie apocalypse is coming.
Fantastic.
It's here, right?
Okay.
Which three famous people do you want on your team?
Oh.
We would put everybody, but then nobody would know who you're talking about, so.
Like if you're like my family, you're like.
Oh, no, no. I would definitely wouldn't bring them.
Yeah.
They'd slow me down 100%.
We're going to go hunt and bring stuff back to them.
I'll bring them back. Yeah. Okay, right. Fuck, this is really hard. I've suddenly forgotten every celebrity in the world. Okay. I'd like some humor,
please.
Yes.
Along the way. I'd like to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I might bring Ricky Gervais.
Okay, great.
That's
just
great.
Because I think he'd be funny. I also think he would die first. And I think we could just use him as a shield.
Would make it
as
fun.
Kind of bait, just in the beginning. Oh, no, I was going to say Stevie Wonder for music, but now I don't think I'm thinking survival-wise.
You want to survive.
I don't know how much he would aid
the cause.
It'd
be a really nice soundtrack, though, to the
But he could sing me to sleep when I imminently die.
Yeah.
The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, my God, I was going to say The Rock.
I would bring The Rock.
That's so wild.
Because he would, I think he would help in that situation.
Yes.
And I would also bring Jennifer Aniston. Genuinely.
Great.
Yeah.
I love, but why?
I just really want to hang out with her.
Yeah.
It's comforting.
Yes. Yeah. If you're going to go down, I'd want to go down with Aniston too.
So
Me
that's
too.
Mine. Jennifer Aniston, Ricky Gervais, and The Rock.
I think that's
I love
a
this.
Perfect team.
Thanks.
Well done.
Yeah, really well
really
done.
Really well done.
Thank you.
Dang.
While we're on celebrity, if you had to adopt one celebrity, who would it be?
To adopt?
Yeah.
Like a child or like a grown?
No, it could be any.
They're
a grown
my person now.
Doesn't have to be a child celebrity because I don't even know if I
No.
Any celebrity.
I'd adopt Michael B. Jordan.
Oh. So
okay.
Random. I love it.
And
we're done. Moving on.
Is that?
Yeah. I'm not even going to ask
will
why.
Not elaborate.
No, we don't need to. No elaboration needed.
My God, I'm going to get in trouble with that one.
What are your deal breakers in a relationship?
Being
that they're not Michael B. Jordan.
Being rude to waiters, servers, 100%. Or family members, like their mother or something. Being rude to your mum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yep.
Those are really, really big ones for me. That is my biggest one.
Yeah,
I promise
great.
You.
That is great.
That and I guess lying?
I guess
lying, gaslighting. I don't love those.
No,
they're not.
Not
they're
something
not
on your worst list.
Also, dirty fingernails. Gross.
Whoa, yeah.
Wash your hands, clean your fingernails.
Ew.
Those would be mine. Gaslighting and dirty fingernails.
Just, you know.
Just, low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, also low-hanging fruit
I
would
did
be
one.
What movie would depict your life?
I caught that.
Wait, what? I missed it. What did you
say? She said also low-hanging fruit.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
That was good. What movie would depict your life?
Crash.
You're very quick. You're very quick.
Very.
I think would be that.
I love it.
What can you say during sex that you can also say in a drive-thru window or at the drive-thru window?
Come around the back.
You're staying. We're adopting
you. We're keeping you.
Yes, it was the first thing that came to my mind.
You just got adopted.
You're 100%. You just won everything.
Yeah, this is good.
Oh, my God. Who do you think is the funniest person alive or dead?
Oh, that's really hard. Oh, Robin Wilson.
Wait, Robbie Williams?
Robin Williams. Robin Wilson.
Robin Wilson is great.
For God's sake, I'm a Robin Wilson stan. Yeah, Robin Williams. Robin Wilson.
I'm crumbling.
Oh, no.
You see this?
I'm crumbling.
Robin Wilson.
Robin Williams. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm in love with you.
Robbie Williams.
I can't. I think you have all the good cards in that.
Robin
I'm out of
this. This is so fun. It's so good. Okay, what do you think is taboo in our culture that really shouldn't be?
Well,
this is quite sad, though. I don't know.
That's okay.
I think, like, being honest about... about coming around the back. No, I think that, like, this is quite right. Maybe this is taboo. I think the earlier you teach boys and girls about consent, the better.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, you can do it in you know, layman's terms, but like, yes, the earlier that's drilled into boys and drilled into girls into understanding what it is, I think we could avoid a lot of darkness if, yes, we just, you know, yeah, taught our kids early the right way to
100%
be.
And, yes, like, communicate about,
yeah,
sex.
And, like, yeah, sex education in schools is really taboo. And it's always, like, especially in, right, London, it's, like, very, very minimized. And they don't talk about gay sex or anything like that. It's, right, all just, like, heterosexual, yeah, stuff. And I think that should be spoken about more.
Yeah.
Great.
Not to get serious and political.
No, absolutely. You're,
it's a serious,
right,
question.
Yeah.
What is the first thing you thought about this morning?
My vape.
Honesty.
I couldn't find it.
100%. Sorry. My,
yeah,
vape.
You woke, yeah, up like...
I woke up like, and I was, where? Like, where is it?
Where is it?
Oh, it's normally, no, under my pillow and I couldn't find it. Plot twist. It was inside the pillow lining, just in case anyone was worried. I did find it.
I found it. Worried.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I understand. totally understand.
What is your biggest panty dropper?
Okay. Again, weird. As I'm sure we've learned by now. Weird. The nape of a man's neck,
oh,
when they have like a chain, like a very small, like, silver chain,
mm,
and the nape of a neck, that gets me going.
Wait, but only silver?
It can be gold, but I would prefer
silver. You prefer silver?
I'd say let's keep it toned down, you know, like a, yeah, giant gold, right, chain might be a bit much. If it's like a little thin gold chain,
then it'd be
lovely,
acceptable.
Just some sort of necklace on the back of
the
a man's
detail and
neck.
Yeah, specific.
So specific.
I've thought about it a lot.
I was going to say, yeah, you thought, like,
that,
when it happens,
I
you're
have
like,
thought about that a lot.
Game over.
And also if they're funny, but mostly the neck thing.
The neck
but
thing with the chain.
They could do, they
the
could
nape
do
of
no
neck
wrong.
With a chain.
It's funny because it doesn't have much to do with their face. It's,
no,
just like the illusion of a handsome man. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Like from the back, like the
I
neck.
I know exactly what you mean.
Think about it. You'll start to notice
it. Is it like clean shit? You know what I mean?
Nicely,
like,
shaved,
yeah, like a,
and like
just skin, and I totally can visualize, yeah,
a little,
and I get
a
it,
little like muscle, a little, in like, the shoulder,
yeah,
blades.
Yeah. Oh, we're just like, so we're gonna just
like
ride the back of this
right
man.
The hips.
Oh my God,
that is genuinely
too much.
That's great.
Would you rather watch a horror movie every night before bed or hunt ducks?
I'm vegetarian and I'm not scared of horror films, so horror movie every night before
clearly
bed.
Not scared of horror films.
Yeah, I actually really enjoy them. It's genuinely,
do
so
you?
I would just do that
I
anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the dorkiest thing about you? We already learned that. We can move on. What is it?
I do impressions.
What?
I feel good.
What?
Really, really, really bad impressions. And it's so dorky.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Okay, you're going to
And I used to do them on dates and wonder why
please
they wouldn't call me.
No, Stop it.
I would do like Smeagol and like Cartman from South Park.
Come on.
You're going to have to give us one.
Yeah, you have to give us a little taste.
Even as I said this, I was like, I know that you're going to ask me to do it. And I'm already living in serious regret. I can do Cartman for you.
Okay.
This used to be my hit on dates. I would do this and I would be like, if he sticks around, he is a keeper.
Here you guys. Fuck you, Kenny, fucking asshole. Screw you guys, I'm going home.
You know, what's really embarrassing is I learned how to do that when I was younger to impress people.
No, you're impressing us deeply.
I'm in love with you. Like, I can't even think of any of it.
That's probably the dorkiest thing about me.
That is the most amazing thing. I'm like, that's the most amazing thing about you.
Yeah.
No,
that is it. That's your thing.
That's our panty dropper.
Yeah, that's our panty dropper.
We're done. We are done here. I don't even know where to go from that. That was fucking incredible.
Big finish.
Oh my God. No, you are like so beyond. You've been so fucking amazing.
Thank you. This has been so fun.
And
truly
open. So fun.
That was such a good
Anytime.
Time.
Anytime. Just come over and hang out with us.
I will.
Will you come back?
Whenever
Absolutely.
You're in town.
Like, Absolutely.
Yes.
Unreal.
Whenever you want me.
We want you always.
We want you every time you come back to town.
Yeah.
It's for real.
I would
love to.
For truly. Real. Yeah. Okay, the first omen is out. Very exciting.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Congratulations on
you.
Your film and all of your success.
Thank you.
And just you're the most beautiful person ever.
Thank you.
Thank you for hanging with us.
Thank you for having me. This was literally the best.
Yeah. Lay down, Sally.
Rest you in my arms. I've been waiting all night long just to talk to you. All right.
I've been waiting all night long just to talk to you.
When's the last time you felt like that?
Never. What's going on, Rob?
Oh, I don't know. Not too much.
I wonder when we can talk about...
We can talk about it.
We can talk about the fact that we can't talk about it. We can't talk about it until later.
We went on Family Feud.
Yeah, we did.
Broad Ideas represent.
We did great.
Honestly, I had a great time.
I had a great time.
We can't talk about anything other than that we went on it.
And made new friends.
Walker Hayes. And friends. Mm-hmm. He was so lovely.
And so was Shane on his team. And his wife was
everyone,
lovely.
His whole team.
And his managers.
They were good people.
We had good people.
Yeah. And that's Important. Really what life is about.
Walker, so sweet. He has daughters around Briar's age. We're going to get them together next time they're in... LA.
And he's going to be on the podcast.
He is coming on the podcast.
Yeah.
7 kids.
Yes.
Do you want to know what I did after Family Feud?
I sure do.
You know what I did.
You went home?
That's it. End of story.
Went home to bed.
I went and got that cheesecake that you turned me on to.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The best... I'm sorry. It's the best cheesecake.
It's the best cheesecake.
It's from Cheesecake Factory?
Yes.
They have a whole
Your
factory.
Favorite.
Guys.
They have a whole factory. No, it's this little restaurant in called... Oh, if I say it, everyone's going to come take the cheesecake and we're not going to have cheesecake. I don't think I should say where it is. Rob.
Wait.
Oh my God.
It's not even the name.
Can you beep it
is
out,
that
Chris?
Not the name?
We're just going to beep it out every time he says
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. He's such a little shit sometimes.
Speaking of little shits, I get to the restaurant.
Yeah.
Which one?
And Jeff calls me while I'm at the counter. And he goes, you remember last time you brought me that He's like, it wasn't enough. I think you need to get us both 2 pieces. And so I went, okay. So I got us 4 pieces of cheesecake.
Yeah.
We go home. I eat my cheesecake, go to sleep. The next morning, I said, Jeff, did you eat your cheesecake? And he's like, yeah, I did. I said, you ate both of your pieces? He said, no, I ate one of mine and one of yours.
It's the same. But he had to say he ate yours.
Which meant he would still get another one.
Yeah.
Is it just plain cheesecake?
It is
what
makes it good. Cheesecake. I can't. This neighborhood makes them homemade and delivers them to this restaurant.
If you'd like to know what's so good about it, it's that the crust is like
perfect,
really perfect, like crumbly graham cracker, like fresh baked crust. And then it's like the cheesecake. And you know when cheesecake has that light layer on top?
Something.
Of like sludge?
Yeah.
We don't call it sludge.
Yeah, it's not an appetizing adjective.
We call it that little light layer of heaven. So it's like light and then
crunchy. It's so good. So my mom has a recipe that's similar to it.
Yeah.
And I've made it. It's close, but nothing compares to that cheesecake.
It's really
special.
Yeah.
There was something like that in Chicago. There was a little coffee shop by us in Lincoln Square. And they
had it called?
I don't remember the name of it. Mm. But it was a pumpkin caramel cheesecake that they would make around the holidays. Mm. And it was like some lady that would make it for the cafe.
And it was delicious.
And then...
It sounds a little intense.
And then she got like sick and they stopped making it.
Rob, this is a horrible story.
I know. And then I couldn't get it anymore.
Depressing.
But that was always...
The woman.
Yeah.
I want to know what happened to her. This took a dark turn. Anyways, last time we went, I gave Briar half of a piece of the cheesecake.
Yep.
Because we were sharing with Winnie and Stella. And Briar got really mad. She was like, Mom.
It's not enough. Guess what I gave Jeff after he ate his two pieces of cheesecake?
The third piece of cheesecake.
No. The fuck you think this is?
That's what I would. I'm like, here, take all my cheesecake.
No, Rachel's the one who turned us on to it. And like, she got me a piece of cheesecake and I'd never had it. And she was like, I got to go back in and get Jeff a piece of cheesecake because if he doesn't try it, he's going to be upset. And like, this is for Jeff.
I gave him half of mine. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I thought it was a nice compromise. He already ate two pieces.
Yeah.
And I went to put it in my notes to talk about to you. Because I was like, I need to tell Rachel that he ate one of mine and one of his. And he goes, what are you doing? You're putting that in notes? And I said, yeah. I said, well, I sometimes do that for the podcast. He's like, there's no other notes on that page.
I guess Jeff and Natalie did talk about that at Family Feud.
What did they talk about?
How that they should have been honorary fourth and fifth members because all we do is talk about them on the post. And that Jeff's had to stop listening.
Do you ever get told you look like anyone?
Sometimes.
Who?
I get Elijah Wood.
Oh, I can see that.
The eyes.
And...
Who are we?
I don't know. I think that's the main one.
That's the main one. I see that. You've never told us that before.
Especially when my hair is longer.
Do you ever have... Have you ever had long hair?
Longish.
Like to where?
I mean, just shaggy. Mostly shaggy.
Not like to here. Like a bob, a lob. Rob hasn't had a lob.
Rob's got a lob.
I get too annoyed with it by the time it gets to that length.
I can see you like skater, like flipping your hair. Like, you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, like Elliot.
Who do you get told you look like? I know.
Who?
Kate Middleton.
All the time.
Who do you get?
Who do I get? I get
Kaya Gripper.
Oh, God. I mean.
You do.
Yeah.
Who do you get? That wasn't going to be your answer.
No, it wasn't going to be my answer. Edie Sedgwick I would get.
When you were young.
Like 20s.
Yeah.
Like early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I would get that.
Mm-hmm. Well, early 20s, I got fucking...
Oh, my God. Wait.
Like J-Lo? What are you about to say?
Kind of,
but better.
Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta.
I thought you were going to say.
I only got that once.
What was it?
But I thought you were making like a funny story joke.
No. One time.
Because it's so ludicrous.
Dude, one time.
You got ludicrous?
One time I got ludicrous. I used to get Ray Liotta all the time and I got used to it because people would be like, this is going to sound so weird. And I'd be like, Ray Liotta, I know. Uh-huh.
I can see it.
Okay, so I was in line to go to the bathroom at a club, as one does in their 20s, and Bijou Phillips looks at me, and she's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do Do you know who you look like?
Do you know her at this time? Not this is just like some remotely. Stranger at the club.
It's a random person coming up to
do
her.
Do you not know her? She's like, you look like that guy that has a movie out right now. And I was like, Ray Liotta? And she's like, no. Like, weirdo. And she's like, he's in that movie, Anchorman. And I'm like,
Will Ferrell?
I'm like, Will Ferrell? And she was like, yes. Drags me in front of the line to the mirror and is like, look at yourself. Yeah. She's like, tell me you don't see it. And she starts pointing at everyone. She's like, tell me you don't see it. And I was like, I don't see it.
And the irony is, I always reference.
Thought I looked like.
Yeah. I could always see Will Ferrell. I can see that a little bit too.
Shut what? Up, Rob.
Really?
No. I
like Ray Liotta, I get.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
I have Will Ferrell's bottom teeth.
In a jar.
Under my pillow.
I get it.
What? What? That's like when we just switch gears.
You used to always, you also had... I used to get, when I was young, I used to get Carmen Electra.
Mm.
That was when I was young. Grr. You had a twin. Remember the girl that looked like you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know
what
her.
What is her name?
Nora.
Oh, yeah, Nora.
Zettner.
What was she? She was in Brick?
Mm-hmm.
You guys should play sisters.
Yeah, we could totally play sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's mm-hmm. very sweet. I like Nora.
Oh, good.
Nora. Oh, I've told this story before. So Nora, you know, people think we look a lot alike.
You do.
And like we were both up for a part before I got the OC in Everwood and I didn't get it. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to take it personally. It's not you know. And then they cast her who like looked exactly like me at the time. And I was like, wait, what?
But just a you know? Slightly better actress.
But then I got the OC because I didn't get that. So everything worked out okay.
Mm.
Will Ferrell. What's like the weirdest one I've ever gotten? I can't remember. What?
Skeet Ulrich.
What? Oh, you told me today that I looked like Skeet Ulrich.
I could see that actually a little bit.
What? Can you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You guys want to do a question?
Sure. Sure.
All right, my husband wants to bring some of his family to live with us. I really don't want to. How do I not ruin my marriage? Either of you relate to this headline?
I relate to it.
You do.
So my husband is a very sweet person. His dad abandoned his family when he was 7 years old, so he stayed with his mom and little sister. He grew up believing he had to be in charge of them because he's the man of the house.
Sorry.
Bless you.
Nowadays, we live in California and his family lives in Latin America. He sends money to her mom. She doesn't work and his sister's a single mom with two kids. He also helps his sister economically speaking. Recently, he mentioned to me he would like to do all the paperwork and bring them to live with us. His mom, sister, two nephews, and I don't want to. I told him to go ahead if he has the money to provide housing and all the necessities for them while they adjust, but that I was not going to work extra for our plans and goals to support a whole other family I didn't choose to have. One of the reasons I don't support this is because I don't believe he has to be responsible for them anymore. His sister is a grown woman who decided to have two kids, and I'm not willing to give the peaceful life we have no kids, and even go through financial difficulties because my husband feels he's still responsible for his family. Am I being too selfish? How do I tell him this is not a good idea? I already said I'm not okay with it. I told him I was afraid that it could put our relationship in danger. I think you're the only one that can answer
this. Yeah, you're
this.
The one with the most experience.
You're the one with the most people in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my answer to that in a nutshell. This is me in a nutshell. When Jeff's dad wanted to come live with us, my answer was, we have the life we have today because you had a good father.
You guys.
What?
I see. Oh, no.
Just touched your eyes. You should keep doing it.
Oh, shit. Spicy salsa fingers in the eyes.
Okay. Did you know that that can happen other places?
Yes.
What other places are you referring to? Genitals, right?
Well, I heard a great I heard a great word for it on SNL this week, and it was called, she said, her south mouth. He was like, and then he got me on my south mouth. I was like, oh,
that's good.
So good.
All right.
So when Jeff said his dad wanted to come live with us, my answer was simple. We would not have the life we have today if it wasn't for his father. He had a good father. Mm-hmm. They gave him a good life. He got a good education. He got a good job. If the dad's going to be alone and we need to take him, to me, that's a no-brainer. Do we want to open our house to a ton of people? Of course not. It's sacrifice. But also, if you have any belief in the blue zones, the people with three-generation families live longer, happier, healthier lives.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because community, mm-hmm. village.
I love it.
So that's great.
Well, yeah, it's 100% circumstantial.
It's circumstantial. Do they need to take in his sister and the kids? That's a bridge further than I would want to go. Like, we have my brother right now, but it's very much
circumstantial,
and mm-hmm. it's to help him get on his feet so that he can live a great life. It's not to just be like, hey, take care of me, and I'm going to have kids and take care of them too. Like,
yeah, and I would imagine in this circumstance, it's bring them to America so that they can have more of an opportunity to get on their feet, not just bring them here so they can freeload.
So for that, I personally would do it, but that's just me. But I would also say it's also fair to have a boundary around your living situation if that's the case. Like, if you're in a home that you can do that, right? Yep. And yep. if you can't, is there another version for the same price where you can make enough room for that so that you have a room to yourself? Because it is hard to share space with more people.
Well, yeah, and if you didn't sign up for that, then...
Oh, that's... and also, I think there's got to be an even exchange in some sense. Like, for instance, my brother's living with us. He's now working a job. If anyone needs a personal trainer, he's a beast and is a fantastic trainer at Stronghouse Fitness in West Hollywood.
Hmm.
And we're proud of
him. He's training Elliot and Jeff now, right?
He's training Elliot and Jeff. And he comes home every day from work and cleans and makes us dinner. And it's like, okay, that is an exchange for being in the home. Like, at least we're having equal exchange. If you're not and they're just living with you, you're going to be resentful and it's going to be ugly. Why do you have that?
I forgot to give it to Briar in her Easter basket.
Oh, I was like, because you thought Briar needed that?
No, all the Easter stuff was in here and I forgot about this thing.
You mean the Easter bunny forgot?
Yeah.
You guys do Easter bunny?
What?
Do you guys do the Easter bunny? Both do the Easter bunny?
You don't?
No. You don't?
No.
What ever? Do you mean?
You never did?
But Jesus loves Robert.
I know.
Wait.
No, we were in Joshua Tree on Easter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Calvin wanted chocolate and asked about it, but he doesn't think the Easter bunny brings him a basket of chocolate.
Okay. So do you guys do Christmas?
We do Christmas.
So why are you acting like we're crazy doing the Easter bunny? Did you not have any joy as a kid?
Easter's just got such a religious connotation to me.
Not if you make it about candy.
The bunny, the giant bunny that's going to
That's what
in
it's
here.
About for us is the yeah. giant bunny and they wake up to a basket and then they search for eggs. And it's more like of, fun. It's,
yeah.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Copy you.
I mean, I like a good time.
We don't have time for that kind of stuff.
Do you do Valentine's Day?
Wait, you didn't give him anything for Easter?
No.
They don't get Easter they don't get candy? Like a basket of things?
Nope. Vincent's too young. We're not giving him
I'm talking about Cal.
My kids got him at that age. They got like a bunny and a book and like a, you know, little socks, yeah, whatever.
They're all just PJs.
I mean, my mom will send stuff.
Okay.
So they got like a book from her about the Easter Bunny.
They might resent you later for no candy.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's all about the candy.
Well, we're also in this like phase with Calvin where we're trying. He's only allowed desserts on the weekends.
Someone wrote us some hateful comments.
About candy?
About the fact that we feed our kids sugar.
Oh, well, anyways.
I need to do a better job.
All right, bye, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.